This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
It's great to have a full house. In fact, probably standing room only for today's lecture by Mr. Phan Dian. My name is Andrew Sayers, and I'm the director of the National Museum of Australia. And I would like to welcome you to this event. Just a couple of little pieces of housekeeping. Today's proceedings will be interpreted into Mandarin and English, and the event is being recorded for audio and video on demand for the museum's website.
I'm very happy today's presentation. 有会晤两点向大家做个介绍。第一，是我们的今天的讲座是用翻译成中文和翻译成英文的，而且我们的整个过程都是录音录像的，以备将来使用。I'd
like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the country on which we meet, the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, and pay my respects to their elders, past and present.
首先，我想开始说的是，我们在这里聚会的地方是土著人纳纳沃尔和南布里两个土著部落的所在地。我对他们过去和现在的长老表示敬意。I
would like to acknowledge the great support we've had in mounting a new horizon from the Ministry of Culture of the People's Republic of China, the Embassy of the People's Republic of China, our colleagues at the National Art Museum of China, the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and the exhibition sponsors Rio Tinto.
首先，我要借此机会特别感谢本次新境界中国当代艺术展赞助机构，包括中华人民共和国文化部、中国大使馆。 以及我们在中国的中国美术馆的各位同仁，澳大利亚外交贸易部，以及我们的赞助商，力拓集团给予的支持。The
exhibition has been the result of a very fruitful collaboration between the National Museum of Australia and the National Art Museum of China, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today's speaker, Mr. Phan Dian, Director of the National Art Museum of China, who will speak on A New Horizon.
Respected
Director Andrew Sayers, dear friends and attendees, it gives me great honor to be invited to meet friends here today and talking about the topic of contemporary art in China.
我也特别感谢今天各位专程前来参加这样的交流。我知道在座各位有许多研究中国当代艺术和当代中国文化的专家，也有很多在澳大利亚的我的中国艺术家同行，还有这个专门在澳大利亚国家国立大学进行有关艺术管理方面来自中国许多艺术机构的老乡们。
I'd like to give special acknowledgements to people who made special trip to this event, and including those experts on China, and Chinese arts, and also Chinese culture working in Australia, and also a lot of Australian experts on this area, including the Chinese administrators who made special trip and studying at ANU, and who are involved in training in arts and administration.
由中国美术馆和澳大利亚国家博物馆合作举办的新境界中国当代艺术展啊，在这样一个澳大利亚的美好的春天里开幕，其实是非常有象征意味的，特别在今天啊，今天是新的中国，也就是中华人民共和国成立62周年的前夕，我想今天这样一种啊学术的聚会就更有意义。
In fact, event like this is held in the spring and is very symbolic between our two organizations, our two museums. It is at the eve of 62nd anniversary of New China, People's Republic of China, and is more significant at this time of the year to have this academic exchanges.
用一个展览来展示60年来的中国艺术，显然它是有困难的啊，因为展览的空间和作品总是有限。但是如果我们能够聚焦于60年中国艺术在这个发展过程中的一些重要的特征，也许能够使得我们对这段时间的艺术状况有比较集中的了解，而且这种了解是可以从我们中国内部以及从澳大利亚这个外部两种视角的交汇而形成一些新的认识。
I think it is a very challenging task for us to understand the 60-year process of arts development in China, and because of the space and the artworks we can choose. However, we can focus on certain features in the last 6 decades and to see from this different perspective, especially domestically in China and from Australia perspective.So that we can understand the artistic conditions in China.
Bring with us through that interruption, and over to you, Mr. Fan.
我个人在此非常真诚地对刚才出现的干扰表示抱歉，特别我个人向范馆长表示道歉。大家也应该理解，我们有的时候会出现这样的情况，但是安全是第一的，因此请大家对于我们刚才出现那个事件能有所谅解。现在有请范馆长继续发言。
我要特别感谢各位的耐心和友好。
Thank you very much for everyone's patience and friendship.
我想起来啊，去年我策划上海双年展的时候，就用了一个题目，这个题目叫做“排演”，内黑者。
This reminds me of the biennial exhibition in Shanghai, and at that time we had the title for that exhibition called "Rehearsal."
我想如果要理解当代艺术的话，就要理解我们现实中发生的许多突然发生的事情。
If you want to understand contemporary art, we must understand those emergencies and contingencies happened in our real life.
当然回到我们今天的这样一个场合来，我想我先谈几个方面的这个看法，对中国当代艺术的看法。接下来我想留一些时间我们能够展开讨论，不仅是我和各位之间的讨论，而是我们之间的相互的讨论。
Let's go back to what I was originally planned to talk about. First of all, I would like to talk about a few points of the contemporary art in China, and then I will leave some time for our discussion, this discussion between myself and everyone else.
在这个博物馆的展览已经给大家形象地提供了70多件这个中国艺术的作品，但是我想今天呢，当然我不仅仅是介绍展览，还是想和大家一起来探讨如何看待60年中国艺术的一些总的特征，或者说一种历史性的趋势，而这种趋势是建立在中国社会和文化发展的逻辑之中。
Obviously we have seen the 70 works exhibited in the museumAnd not only I would give you a quick introduction of the exhibition, but also I'd like to take this opportunity to talk about the overall features of the Chinese contemporary art over the last 6 decades, and also the historical trend in the general context of what is happening culturally and socially in China.
所以我提出了从国家叙事到个人话语啊这样一个题目啊，是希望我们能够透过一条线索，主要的线索来看待六十年中国艺术的啊一些历史性的变化。
Therefore, I was thinking in the line of using storytelling and also general language, use that as a string to strum the what is happening in the last six decades.
那么在这个展览啊，从时间的线索上分成了三个段落。其实这三个段落，我觉得是非常正确的描述了中国艺术的六十年的时代的特点。
This exhibition has been categorized and divided into three periods or three segments. I think it's correctly and rightfully described what is happening and the artistic development over the last 60 years.
我跟他说到1949年是20世纪中国从政治体制、经济模式到意识形态的一个重要的转折点。啊，这一切都对中国艺术产生了影响，这是毫无疑问的。
As I said, no doubt, since 1949,China has had a major change in political system, economic and ideology, and we have tremendous changes. Obviously, this has brought impact on arts.
但是我们还可以把目光放得更远一点，比如说今年对于中国来说也是十分重要的一年，今年在中国称之为辛亥革命一百周年，也就是说在一百年的今天的之后的十天，十月十号啊，那么中国结束了两千多年的啊封建王朝，可以说进入了现代社会。
Probably we can even put our view even further, because this year is also a very important year. As we know that in 10 days' time, we are commemorating the 1911 revolution, 100 years. And as we know that 1911 revolution, in fact,it was very significant because it brought an end of the 2,000 years imperial dynasties of China, and China since then had come into a modern age.
所以说我们在讨论新的中国啊的艺术的这个概念的时候，同时也要联系二十世纪中国艺术的啊文化的背景。
Therefore, when we talk about new Chinese art, we mustn't forget what has been happening in the 20th century of China.
那么在1949年到1979年这么一个时段里，我想在中国艺术的这个创作环境和艺术家创作的主题啊，这个两个角度来观察，我们可以看到啊，它主要是围绕着如何确认在文化上确认一个国家的形象，以及如何通过艺术表达社会共同的文化心理。
From 1949 to 1979, it was the period we must focus on the creative environment and also the theme of creations by the artists. And in during this period, the artists are trying to, in fact, ascertain and set the image for the country. And through the artist's means, how we found the...artistic psychology and the mentality and mindset of the whole nation.
因为从1840年到1949年这114年的期间里啊，中国在一个与世界的一个不平等发展的关系中遭受着许多苦难，其中包括许多次战争。因此关于国家这个概念的确立就成为1949年以后新的政权，也就是新的中国建立之后的一种共同的诉求。
From 1840 to 1949, around 110 years, China was developing in a world which with a lot of equality. And during this period, Chinese people and the country of China were suffering a lot of turbulences and hardships, including a lot of wars.
So,
therefore, since 1949, China people in China are trying to establish the concept of China and also a new country and the new regime, and it became something that we are trying to jointly pursue.
当然，作为视觉艺术的这个表达方式啊，它不可能像政治论文那么进行历史性的追溯，它必须是用最典型的形象和最典型的场景来作为一种视觉的描述。
Obviously, as visual arts, the expression of visual arts cannot be exactly copycat of political language or from the historical point of view describing what is happening. However, through art, we need to use the art forms to describe what is happening and what is classic images and the classic scenes.
就像这幅作品啊，当然这是展览中的第一件作品，上面所表现的啊，这里面有啊来自社会不同阶层的民众啊，比如他们是工人、农民、学生、士兵啊等等啊，也有当时新政权的官员啊，那么他们都汇集在啊作为政治象征的啊这样一个天安门前啊，这看上去是一个。相当于旅游者的一个经历，但实际上在这里，他是要描述关于主人与国家作为一个共同体的这样一种概念。
This artwork is the first works, and in the exhibition, is trying to show that there's a different people standing in front of Tiananmen.We have workers, farmers, soldiers, students, and also we can see government officials, and also including ethnic groups members. And here we also can see officials of the new government of the new regime. They're all coming to the front of Tiananmen, the building, and it is really trying to show that it is on the surface, it is, they are like tourists. However, it is trying to manifest it and express that the relationship of masters and the nation and also the commonalities between the two.
当然在这个时期，也就在1950年代，有许多这个作品都描述了啊一个国家或者说一个新政权的诞生。
Obviously, in 1950s, there were many works describing the birth of a new country and a new regime.
那么同样在这个时期有一个非常突出的一个现象在中国艺术中出现，那就是把领袖人物和普通的老百姓联系在一起啊，通过这两种人物的并置，从而形成一种新的叙述。这种叙事也就是说最普通的群众或者是人民在这里同时也是国家的主人。
During this period, one of the very prominent artistic features is that people start to, and also artists start to connect leaders or leaders of a nation with common people. You can see there were general masses and the people, the two different components.Are merged together, and it's a new way of storytelling. This really shows that general public people are also masters of the country.
在中国绘画的历史中，我们都知道过，在传统的这样一个阶段的话，是有过皇家的艺术，也就是宫廷艺术与我们讲社会的艺术这两个大的群落的。这跟西方的情况是一样的。
As we all know, in Chinese history of arts, especially painting history, the traditions have been put into two categories, like that in the West. There is a royal court art and also general public community art.
值得注意的是，在皇家的绘画里面有大部分都是人物画，因为他们要描绘皇族的这样一种生活以及他们的各种活动。而反过来在民间的绘画里面关于人物的绘画总体来说是比较少的。
In the royal court art, we can see there were a lot of portraits. Mostly they were depicting the life and the daily activities of the royal family members. However, in the general public, there are very few portraits.
这种情况到20世纪以后才发生变化，也就是说人物的绘画在艺术中成为一个重要的潮流。
However, this has
had a great change in the 20th century. Portraits in the art form has become a very important type.
那么到了1949年以后，这一关于人的这个绘画，更多的集中在啊，就是最普通的这些社会群体之上。
After 1949, the portraits painting mostly focusing on the general masses.
当然，这件作品毫无疑问是非常重要的啊！它这个展这个作品的题目叫做《开国大典》。
Obviously, this work is very important.Very important one in China. The title for this one is the Opening of the New Republic.
当然，我们在西方的这个这个作品中的话，可以看到很多描写这种庆典的作品，比如说大卫特啊画的巨幅的啊拿破仑加冕式等等。
Obviously, in the West, we could see a lot of works describing those celebrations, including David.Napoleon coronation.
那么在这里，中国画家是怎么样来表现这样一个历史的瞬间的呢？和历史的场景的呢
？Here, let's see how the Chinese artists trying to depicting that particular moment and the scene in the history.
我们通常从绘画的风格来看，可以说这些样的绘画，或者说这个时期的绘画都是写实主义的。
We generally describing this period the.School and the pattern style of this period is more realistic.
看上去这幅画也是写实主义的，因为它描绘了一个真实的三维的空间。
From this picture, we can tell that it is also a realistic, and is so realistic that it is like a space of 3D.
这些建立了新政权的一代中国领导人也都是非常的孝实，就是像他们的啊本人。
Indeed, you can see the leaders of the new regime, they are very much like themselves in real life.
但是这里我想提示的是，实际上这样的作品是一个艺术家的视觉建构，用艺术的或者说用视觉的语言建构了这样一个历史的场景和瞬间。
However, I would like to remind our listeners here that this works, in fact, it is a visual construction.Using the artist language by the artist and his own creation.
我们可以来看一些当时的照片，因为照片相对来说更为直接和真实。
Here we can see the real photos at the time because they are real, more real in a way to tell you what was happening at the time.
在这里，这个宣布中华人民共和国成立的毛泽东主席，当时是和他的啊同伴们啊站在一起的。
At that time, when this real thing happened, Chairman Mao Zedong was standing next to his colleagues, announcing the founding of the new country.
在天安门城楼的当时的这个庆典这个场面啊，似乎还是一种很这个自由的一种排列。
At the real scene of the celebration at the Tiananmen building itself, it was much freely people standing in a freer way.
但是在画家的笔下，这个次序被重新整理过了。
However, under the painting brush of the artist, you can see the order has been rearranged.
所以一个国家的形象，或者说一个新政权的形象，是可以通过一种视觉图像的建构，而使人们相信这样的场面才更具备有一种新的形象。
Therefore, we can see a country, and especially for a new regime, this has been visually reconstructed so that people will understand and they wanted to believe that a new regime should be more like this.
所以在很长时间以来，在中国看上去是写实主义的绘画上，其实是在写实的基础上有更多的象征性，有更多的理想化的艺术处理。
Therefore,For a long period, although it appears to be like realistic, but we can see that on the basis of realism, a lot of symbolism and idealism actually being added to it.
当然，我们也可以注意一下这里面的油画的啊这种风格啊，油画传入中国啊，也就是110年左右。那么在这个时间里啊，中国的画艺术家到欧洲啊和到日本去学习油画的技术。 当然学的主要是19世纪的欧洲的学院派艺术。
Here we can see the style of oil painting, which was introduced to China over 110 years ago. During this period, artists from China went to Europe and Japan to the schools of oil painting. Mostly, they were learning the school, academic school in the 19th century from Europe.
但是在1949年以后，有许多中国油画家试图把中国自身的一种传统绘画的特征和这个油画的技术结合起来，那么在董希文的这件作品中就得到了相当程度的体现。
However, since 1949, Chinese artists trying to combine Western oil painting with Chinese traditional painting features, and here you can see it is very well depicted in Mr. Dong Qiwen's painting.
它一方面是具备有三度空间，甚至包括了明暗法的这样一种立体造型。但是另外一方面，它又把中国绘画中的平面性，特别是在色彩上的这种装饰性的因素，和写实的手法结合起来。
On the one hand, we can see this is more like three-dimensional, and also the brightness and also darkness.Is much more vertical. However, it combines what we call like graphic two-dimensional painting of traditional Chinese way, more decorative and more realistic features being added to this painting.
当然，同样像这样一类的作品，在1950年代是很多的。
Of course, works like this one were created in great abundance in 1950s.
那么在表现一个新的国家概念的时候，有许多作品是通过劳动或者说一种生产的建设来进行传达的。
When a concept of a new country is conveyed, a lot of works were conveyed through labor, production, and construction.
当然在这些作品中可以说艺术家们都真正的到那个生活之中去，那个生活就是当时的工厂、农村，包括部队、军队的这个生活营地里。
In order to create those works, a lot of artists, in fact, they have gone to the real life. When we talk about gone to the real life, I mean they went to the factories, countryside.Even the military camps.
那么在这个过程中，我们说，画家们虽然在绘画上描绘了很多个人物，但是他有一个时代的特点，就是这些人物，他们呈现出来的是一种共同的这个表情，或者说心情，或者说当时的精神的状态。
During this period and this process, artists.Although have painted many figures, there is one common feature for this period and this era. All the figures have the same expression, same feeling, and the same spiritual conditions.
所以有的艺术史家也把1950年代的中国艺术称之为微笑的艺术。
Therefore, some artists and some people describe theartworks in 1950s as in smiling artworks.
因为的确1950年代的中国对整个世界来说是相对封闭的。当时主要的合作伙伴是前苏联以及东欧的一些国家。那么这种政治上的统一性和意识形态上的统一性当然导致了艺术创作上的一种比较集中的一种情感。这种集中的情感就具体的会体现在艺术家的造型上。
In 1950s, Chinese interactions with the whole world mostly were very closed, apart from their interactions with the former Soviet Union and also Eastern European countries. The regime is more unified and also the ideology was much, much more dictatorial at the time. Therefore, the art forms, it was much more dictatorial and also expressed in a similar way. This also was depicted and manifested in their creations.
当然我也注意到有些学者认为在这个时期的中国艺术是完全受到意识形态控制的艺术，但是我们如果很客观的从当时的历史情境出发来看待这些艺术的时候，我们应该说这时候的艺术家他们不是脱离现实，脱离具体的生活和脱离整个社会群落的，而是真正站在了社会和群落之间。所以在这个意义上，这些作品是这个时代真实的反映。
Some scholars and academics saying that the arts in this period in China were controlled or under control of the ideology in China, but to be objective and seeing the perspective from historical and reality in China, artists in China, they did not actually make their own creations outside of the reality, outside the social realities. In fact, they were coming out of the real society from the masses, and it was a genuine depicting of what was happening at the time.
当然这里也包括了啊传统绘画的啊这种表达，实际上在这个时候不分是中国的啊叫做水墨艺术或者工笔艺术啊或者是油画版画，在这时候都体现出一种共同性。
During this period, traditional paintings were expressed in artworks. During this period, you can see various forms combined, including water ink, fine printing, and oil painting, and also wood carved painting.
那么对这些最普通的这个生活现实的表达，可以说构成了这个时期的非常有特色的中国艺术的特点。
Therefore, the main feature for this period in China in art form is the reality reflected in the art forms.
当然，这种情况一直延续到在1960年开始的文化大革命。
This type of situation lasted until the beginning of 1960s when Cultural Revolution started.
文化大革命在某种程度来说对于视觉艺术来说是一个非常好的时机，因为这时候需要，这倒是一个政治需要艺术来为其服务的一个时代。
In fact, during the Cultural Revolutionary period, visual arts had a greatest opportunity for them to develop because during the Cultural Revolutionary period, politics needed arts to serve its purpose.
所以在这时候就出现了两种状况，一种状况是一部分艺术家是完全能够坚持原来的这样一种被称之为现实主义的艺术态度或者说艺术立场来进行他们的创作。
During this period there are two types of schools of art creation. One was a group of artists still insist on and persist on their own traditional way ofrealistic creation, they maintain their stance and maintain their own attitudes.
但是也有一些作品就逐步演化成一种政治的图解或者说政治的符号。
However, there are some other works generally becoming or become evolved into political symbolism and political language.
那么在这个过程中我们还可以注意到另外一条线索，那就是传统的中国绘画在这么一个新的时代里如何能够适应这个时代而形成自己的变革。
During this process there is another string of events how we actually combine our own traditional painting in a new era and how to adapt ourselves and form our own style, new style.
对，大家知道在中国的绘画传统中非常占有位置的是山水画，就像西方的风景。
Indeed, in the Chinese traditions of painting, landscape painting like in the West, have been very important.
在这个展览中以及在当时的实际的创作中有大量的这个山水画这个山水画被称之为新的山水。
In this exhibition and also during the creation in that period there were large quantity of landscape paintings which were referred to as new landscape painting.
实际上这也反映了一种传统的强大尽管当时的环境 对这种纯粹的山水画并不给予积极的支持，但是还仍然有许多画家在进行面向自然，并且对自然进行非常真诚的表达的这样一种艺术方式。那么只不过是在这些作品中通过中国绘画的独有的可以称之为提拔或者点景的人物，能够构成这个山水画的故事性。
What this is trying to say is that this very strong feature of the traditions and its strong root in the Chinese culture, even though it in that environment for those pure landscape painting they didn't get very active support. Many artists nevertheless still trying to express their affection for the nature, and in those works you can see there are some very unique features of traditional Chinese paintings with calligraphy, with poem written, and also with their seals there.
在某种程度上，通过山水的作品和花鸟的作品，也同样传达了一种国家的概念。
And through landscape, flower, and sceneries, we can see that they are also trying to express their feeling towards a country as that notion.
当然了，艺术中国的艺术到了1980年代以后，那么进入了另外一个时期。
However, arts coming to 1980s, we come to a totally new, different era.
那么这个时期，可以说中国从政治制度到经济体制都在进行一种新的变革式的探索。
During this period, both Chinese political system and economic system are both under exploratory stage.
那么邓小平先生提出了改革开放的这个可以说国策。
During this period, Mr. Deng Xiaoping had put forward a national strategy of open door policies.
但是对一个巨大的国家要进入到一种新的变革中它总是充满矛盾的。
Obviously, for a country giant like China, when we come into a new system, and obviously a lot of contradictions and a lot of conflicts occurred.
所以处在这个时代的艺术家，他们特别具有一种在思想上可以说进行探索进行解放的这样一种锋芒。
Therefore, artists during this period, in their minds, they are trying to explore further and also trying to liberate people's minds.
而且最早的进行社会批判的这样一种思潮，就是从文学和视觉艺术开始的。
In fact, as far as the social criticism and the repudiation, as early as this period, the earliest actually started from the literature and the visual arts area.
皮罗类是这样表现文革期间在年轻人之间所进行的武斗给人们造成的伤痕，就成为一个时期的主题。
Give an example for this particular artworks, it depicting during the Cultural Revolutionary period, young people were having militant fights with firearms, and it had done great damage to the people, and had become a theme during this period.
所以这个时期的艺术又称之为伤痕的艺术，或者说反思的艺术。
The art during this period is referred to as scar art or reflective art.
尤其是对于年轻人的命运进行了重新的思考。
Especially, we were trying to rethink the destiny and the fate of youths.
另一方面，相对于50年代到60年代那种理想主义的艺术的风格，那么在80年代之后，更多的回到了自然主义。或者说更多的回到了现实本身。
In comparison with the idealism style in 1950s and 1960s, we can see the 1980s, in fact, is going back to the nature and going back to more realism.
当然在1980年的中国的改革的进程中啊，农村的变革啊是第一个步骤啊，也是中国改革的基础。
In the open door policy process being implemented in 1980s, rural area in China was the first step and it was the base for opening up in China.
所以在这个时期关于农村农民的主题的作品有非常多，比如这件作品就记录了当时在中国中部的一个乡村里一群农民自发的形成了一种契约，那就是要把原来属于集体化的土地分为每个个人，形成一种新的土地的分配和生产制度。
During this period, there are a lot of paintings about farmers. And in this particular one, we can see there was a village in central China where a group of farmers, they were sitting together, having a meeting and form a new agreement, which was to distribute originally owned by the collective village, and now they want to distribute it to the individuals so that a newdistribution system and production system of for land is formed then.
当然在这个时期我们也看到了有关于领袖或者说领导人的肖像，那么他跟五十年代到特别是跟文革期间已经完全不同了。
During this period, we can see portraits of national leaders. However, it has become totally different from those portraits in 1950sand during the Cultural Revolutionary period.
我们在此前的看到的以毛泽东为代表的这些领导人的肖像，他们都是一种英雄式的人物。而到了这幅作品中邓小平的肖像变成了一个像我们家庭生活中的亲切的老人。
Before this,portraits of Chairman Mao and other national leaders were more like heroic figures. However, the works like this one of Mr. Deng Xiaoping, it is more like an elderly person in a normal family.
同样，有关于历史的和其他的这种叙述性的作品，也更多的注重了艺术的形式的探索。
Further to that, the storytelling artworks on history and on culture, they are more trying to explore the different means and how to express themselves.
在讲到1980年代这两个艺术特征的时候，当然这里有一幅作品非常能够说明问题，那就是在今天在我们中间的沈佳卫先生所画的《红星照耀中国》这幅群像。
When we talk about 1980s, the two artistic features of artworks can be expressed quite clearly during this particular artwork, and we have this artist amongst ourselves, which is Mr. Shen Jiawei, and his artwork for this one is Red Star Over China.
那么在这幅作品中，他描绘了1937年以后在延安的许多中国的领导人以及在延安的知识分子和外国朋友。
In these artworks, we can see just after 1937, in Yan'an, the many national leaders of China and intellectuals and also our foreign friends.
在这里没有一个像五十年代那样的绘画的焦点中心，而更多采取了中国传统中的这样一种肖像的方式，使不同的人物分成不同的小组能够结合起来。
In this particular artwork, we can see that it's rather different from 1950s, where there was a focal point. In this one, it is...trying to use more traditional way of depicting portraits where different figures are putting into different little groups.
这在当时就是一种艺术思想上的一种新的这个思潮。
Indeed, this was at the time is a new thought on arts at the time.
那么在人物的刻画上，那么画家像为人物做传记一样啊，研究了每个人物的性格、他的形象的特点，但是更加注重每个人物的精神世界或者说内心世界的刻画。
As for the description of the different figures, we can see the artist had done a lot of research on different people, on their features, on their characteristics. What I meant by this is more on the spiritual mindset of each individual.
那么这就出现了一个新的这个趋势，那就是说在同样对于历史题材或者说现实题材的表达中，那么艺术家更多的把自己的个性、自己的艺术的追求和要表达的主题结合了起来。
This has appeared a new trend, which is to say that artists, when they try to describe a historical event or a real event, what has happened, they are trying to combine their own personal pursuit and their personal idealism into the artworks.
当然了，在1980年代，那么中国艺术面临的另外一个形式是西方的文化和艺术大量的进入到中国。
Another situation the Chinese artists were facing in 1980s were the influx of the Western schools of arts into China.
这就触动了在1980年代中期的更年轻一代艺术家的思想革命。
This has prompted the new emergency of young artists in mid-1980s.
比如这件作品就出自当时才25岁的年轻的画家之手，他的题目叫做《走出伊甸园》。
For example, this particular works coming from an artist of 25 years old. The title of this painting is called Out of Eden.
那么类似这样的一种现代主义的诉求似乎是一个国家在面对一个非常庞大的他文化的进入面前，特别是冲击面前所不可避免的。
When artists trying to pursue what is modern and modernism, it is a country like this facing the invasion or in entry of other cultures in China into the country and the collision coming out of it, it is becoming inevitable.
所以非常这个明确的这个现象就是在1980年代西方绘画特别是欧洲绘画中的古典主义以及20世纪西方的现代主义这两股潮流对中国的绘画有直接的影响。
It is very clear to see that in 1980s, Western, especially European classicism and also 20th century modernism had a great impact and influence on China.
当然对于在中国还十分年轻的油画这样一个画种这样一种媒介来说中国艺术家非常重要的理想就是用这种西方的媒介来表达黄皮肤的中国人。
Artists in China, oil painting is still very young. Chinese artists trying to use oil painting as a medium to express the yellow-skinned Chinese on this Western medium.
这就像用中国的水墨要来画澳大利亚的风景一样，有时候在会让画家无从下手。
This is very much like using Chinese ink and water painting to depicting Australian landscape. This has resulted difficulties for artists not knowing where to start.
所以这看上去是解决一个技术或者说艺术语言的问题，实际上后面也包含了一个部分的中国艺术家在文化上的思考。
On the surface level, we can see this is really a difficulty of skills and also how to express itself linguistically. But we can see also it includes the thinking and the thoughts on arts by the Chinese artists.
因为就油画本身来说，到1980年代，只经历了四个时期。
Because as far as the oil painting is concerned, up until 1980s, it went through four stages.
第一个时期是传教士的西方欧洲画家到了中国的宫廷，在那里来传播一些油画。
The first stage or first period was the period when Western missionaries and painters went to the royal court of China and did some oil painting.
第二个时期是二十世纪上半叶，一大批中国艺术家到欧洲和通过日本向欧洲学习油画。
Second stage was in the early 20th century. Chinese artists went to Europe and went to Japan to learn oil painting.
第三个部分当然就是1950年代向前苏联学习油画。
Of course, the third period was the period in 1950s Chinese artists learning from former Soviet Union.
所以中国油画家啊，对如何能够向欧洲的油画的经典作品，特别是那些高超的精湛的油画技术啊，学习成为他们的非常直接的追求。
Therefore, for oil painter, oil artists, it is their real pursuit how to learn from those classic artworks and also very high and savvy artists in Europe in the oil painting sector.
那么在另外一个趋势上，也就是受到西方现代主义的影响的趋势上，那么在这个时期也成为一个年轻人的潮流。
Another tide coming to being was the influence from the modernism in the West.
甚至在一个时间内可以看到中国的年轻艺术家把西方现代主义从毕加索到劳森伯格各种流派似乎都演习了一遍。
For a period of time, we can see at the time young artists in China, as far as the modernism is concerned, from Picasso to Novel, and all these different schools have been practiced in China.
那么，在这个过程中，值得注意的是，中国艺术家开始从原来完全崇拜西方现代艺术的自由表达，到开始注意到要寻找本土的，要寻找将本土的经验、经历和现代的语言相结合的这样一种道路。
During this process, it is worth noting Chinese artists have shifted from blindly worshipping free expression of modernism in the West to a integration of local domestic knowledge and experience with modern languages.
那么当然在进入到二十世纪这样到二十一世纪的跨世纪的这个阶段，那么中国社会可以说进入了新的一个变革时期，那就是说更多的融入了全球化的进程。
However, coming to across the century stage between 20th century to 21st century, China has gone through more changes and China is becoming more integrated with the rest of the world.
当然全球化的进程就使得中国绘画的主题和整个中国艺术的主题发生了一些变化，其中一个方向就是都市化的进程成为艺术的主题。
During this process of globalization, for paintings, especially for arts, the main theme has changed. Certainly, the urbanization theme is the main one.
这幅作品看上去描绘的是农民，但是这些农民已经有了新的身份，这个身份就是他们是到城市成为建筑工人的一种新的这个身份。
This artwork depicting farmers
In fact, those farmers have a new identity. They come into the city, they become construction workers. That becomes their new identity.
所以关于农民和土地，农民和他们原有的身份，在这个时期，农民和城市，都市就成为了一个中国艺术经常可以看到的内容。
Therefore, farmers and their land, and also farmers with their original identity, farmers and the cities have been becoming a focal point and a regularly used theme.
当然随着主题的变化，其实艺术家的一种表达的方式也发生了变化。就这里可以注意到两个现象，一个现象在中国，也就跟澳大利亚和任何国家一样，今天各种媒体、各种手段，特别是综合运用不同媒体和手段的艺术是非常普通的，也就是平常的。
Along with the changes in themes and also artists' expressions depicting what they want to express also changed. There are two things here. One thing is like in Australia, or for that matter, for similar to any other country in the world, various mediums where various patterns and methods, especially comprehending and integrating various of mediums and patterns, become quite regular and often seen by artists.
但是另外一方面，从1950年代发展起来的一种称之为现实主义，或者说我们就叫写实主义的传统，并没有间断。However,
the thoughts and the school of realistic depicting started from 1950s had never stopped.
他们在年轻一代的艺术家那里，仍然作为一个重要的语言表达。Amongst
the young artists, it is still a very important language for them to express themselves.
那么，但是他们表达的方式跟他们的前辈不同的是，他们希望更多的接近真实，或者说现实。However,
the method of their expressions is rather different from their predecessors. They want to be more real, more close to reality.
那么，这就使得他们不是在工作室里面去描绘一个理想的现实，而是到现实的现场之中，在那里感受、体验，甚至就在那里绘画。What
I meant by that is they do not stay in studios trying to express reality through their idealism. Rather, they go to the reality, go to the scene, to experience, to sense, and even to do their creations and the artworks in the reality.
当然这样的现场的绘画不是传统的写生，就短时间的绘画，而是画家在这个现场面前要工作一个月或者更长的时间。
This is rather different from an artist going to a particular place to do practice or to do some drawing. This is a real creation. They sometimes stay at the scene for 1 month or even longer to have their works completed.
这种现场感或者说这种直接性就成了今天艺术家个人话语和生存现生活现实之间的一种
This type of nature of being at scene and also directness is really a tie of their personal space and also their livelihood.
当然，前面这件作品表现的是在汶川大地震，中国最大的地震之后的年轻人和他们被毁灭的家园之间的关系。
This particular artwork was an artist created after the biggest earthquake in recent
2008年
recent times in Wenchuan in China in the year 2008, describing a young person and his damaged and destructed house and home.
实际上，艺术家在这样一个大幅的绘画面前，用一种现场 直接表达的方式，我想他更多的就把现代主义中的那种表现性啊，那么一种被称之为偶发的啊 happiness 这样一种语言的方式都融合在写实的或者说现实的语言之中。
For an artist to create a big size artwork like this, they are trying to express what they are feeling, especially the real things, and to connect directly with what is happening in real life, the happenings, and this is being depicted.
所以这可以说是一种新现实主义。
Therefore, we can call this a neo realism.
因为在这个过程中，每一个画家都有自己的视角，他们关注城市本身，关注城市和乡村的边界地带，或者关注乡村本身。
Because each individual artist has their own perspective, they focus on either city itself or the border area between city and the rural areas or even rural itself.
由于中国迅速的都市化进程，许多传统的或者说唤起人们记忆的东西正在消失，而这些画家几乎是用抢救式的方式来留住他们对历史时间的感受。
As we know that China is quickly going to the urbanization process, artists are trying to rescue what is their memory or what is their tradition, and even in the rescue way to maintain and retain that historical moment.
我今天上午在国家美术馆看了那个一个澳大利亚艺术家叫威廉，他的一个大型的个人展览。我感受非常强烈，因为我觉得他画出了用当代人的感受和方法画出了澳大利亚这块土地。
This morning I had the opportunity to visit the National Gallery of Australia, and over there I saw the personal exhibition of William, and I had a very strong feeling for that because his works gave me the sense of using contemporary people's mind to depicting the landscape of Australia.
当然，在这个时期，并不意味着大型的叙述性的绘画或者艺术，完全消失了。那么，同样在一些艺术家那里，也仍然对叙述性的艺术方式感兴趣。但是，在这个时候，他们用了更多的综合的媒介，运用了当代的一种新的图像的感受来进行表达。这就在一种公共叙述，或者说仍然是国家叙述和个人的话语、个人的艺术的形式之间建立起一种联系。
Of course, during this period, large scale of storytelling art form has not disappeared. Artists still trying to use the storytelling way to express their artists' interests, but they are more using a comprehensive of mediums and also new materials to try to express themselves. Therefore, they have established interactions and connections between functionality, nation, and personality.
那么同样在传统的中国画领域啊，这种当代的变革也仍然在继续。
In the traditional Chinese painting period area, we can see the contemporary changes are still happening.
所以相比起在五十年代更多表现第一自然的风景，那么在这个新时期，艺术家更多表现心中的风景，或者说心中的自然。
In comparison with 1950s, where real nature was described, during this period, artists trying to describe a nature in their mind.
那么这样一种新的自然观，当然它是建立在一个当代的一个综合知识的背景之上的。
However, the new concept of the nature is based on their knowledge of contemporary understanding of the nature.
比如说传统的中国绘画它更多是一种近距离的观看，而当代的艺术家 可以把一个巨大的山水放在公共空间里。
For example, traditional Chinese painting for landscape, it was a miniature or very closely observing the nature. However, as now, they can put big landscape in a real scene.
皮罗内斯这位艺术家，他的这样一种水墨的用中国纸画出来的水墨作品，它在尺寸上，在和公共空间的一种对话关系上，都是超过传统的。
Give an example, this particular artist's water and ink painting on Chinese paper, in size and also in its public space and the dialogue between the two, had certainly exceeded what has been the traditional way.
同样在抽象艺术领域也是这样，中国艺术家当然知道在中国从事抽象艺术是一个很危险的一个选择，因为西方的抽象艺术从康定斯基到波洛克已经形成了一个非常丰富的世界。
The same happened in abstract area as the Chinese artists were well known that the Chinese artists find it very dangerous to carry out abstract creation in China because from Kinesky and Brook a very rich world of artworks have been created.
所以在我看来中国的艺术家在从事抽象绘画的时候他们更多注重自己的动机。
To me, for Chinese artists, when they create abstract works, in fact, they are starting from personal motives.
或者最简洁的说西方叫做抽象表现主义，中国可以称之为表现抽象主义。
Put it in a simpler way, in the West it's called abstract expressionism. In China, I can put the other way, it is expressive abstractionism.
当然表现这个词对于中国艺术非常重要，因为它有着非常深厚的传统。
Here, the word expression is particularly important for Chinese artists because it has a very profound and deep tradition.
比如在近两年啊，在中国艺术界就出现了一种新型的绘画。
Give an example, for the last couple of years, in the arts world in China, there is a new phenomenon has appeared.
这些绘画的尺寸非常大。艺术家在从绘画之初到完成的过程几乎都是处在一种完全的想象与表现之间。
These works are very large in size from very beginning to the completion of the artworks. The artists in fact are in their total mind of imagination and also expressions.
我们本来也想把这样大型的绘画带到堪培拉来，但是他们的尺寸太占据了博物馆空间了。
We were thinking of bringing one artwork of this size to Canberra. However, we think they are too large for Canberra.
那么在这些绘画里面，我想艺术家有一种用中国传统的观看宇宙的方式，也就是我们称之为天人合一，人与物形成一个整体的宇宙世界的这样一种观念，来表达他们新的想象。这种想象也是一种社会学的想象。
For artists, when they create their artworks, they have been using very traditional way of observing universe, which the traditional concept of being one between nature and the human being, which is people and the physical world are integrated parts, and they were trying to use the new imagination and how they describe the universe, and this is also a reflection of the society.
在某种程度上，中国艺术的非常巨大的伟大的传统，以及中国社会现在在全球化进程中所形成的一种发展的生机，都无形中支持了这些大型绘画的 创作。
Indeed, the great tradition of arts in China and also the vitality brought by the development of Chinese society had inevitably supported those large-size paintings.
所以我想在讨论中国艺术的这样一个非常这个浓缩的一个发展进程的时候，我觉得更需要我们更多的朋友们一起来参与分析。
I think when we talk about the process of Chinese arts in a such condensed way, what we need more is more discussion and interaction between our friends together.
所以在此我特别希望听到各位的见解。
I'd like to very much to hear the mindset and your opinions from the attendees.
好，先谢谢大家。
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any question or the discussion?
How far do you feel artists are aware of the importance of modern physics in terms of the way they relativize different aspects of reality? You've shown some works over the past, this one and an earlier one that seem to deal with visions of reality that come from physics as well as looking at the natural world. And I'm just wondering how far artists or groups of artists actually are aware of that and join issue with those problems.
我想问您一下，在艺术家里边，他们对于现实的生活中以及呢现代物理学之间的相对性之间，他们了解多少？您谈到您刚才放的这幅作品以及前面的这个作品，从视觉上面他们表现的是现实。我想问的是，这些艺术家或者这一组的艺术家，他们对于现代物理在现实的这个里边的他们表达的问题，他们理解有多深？
您的问题倒真是提出了一个这个新的视角。据我所了解，可能中国的艺术家，特别是年轻的艺术家，他们对科学或者说对科学技术，整个知识应该还是不够的。我几乎没有听到一个艺术家在谈到描绘自然的时候，阐述到他们关于物理学或者是其他自然科学方面的兴趣。
I think you have proposed a very interesting question starting from a new perspective. As far as I know, artists in China, especially young artists, when I talk to them, and they rarely talk about the relationship or their understanding of natural sciences, and they rarely, and I believe that they don't have enough knowledge of sciences.
在中国的传统中，当然会对艺术形式，比如画面中的点、线，有和无，也就是空白与实体之间，会有很多非常重要的法则，这些法则对今天的艺术家是有支持的，但是和现代的这种科学之间的一种视觉感受的关联，这方面还没有展开讨论。
In traditional Chinese painting, certainly there were a lot of discussions on like points, lines, with or without whiteness, and also the areas being occupied. There are a lot of important rules to follow and a lot of support from it. However, we don't see a lot of visions and feelings.From the more modern scientific way being discussed and explored.
谢谢。
Thank you.
你好，沈馆长。我自认是一个新生的艺术家，但是我已经就是说把自己抽离了这个国家的，就是我自己， 我自己本身祖国的一个土地，就是说我已经远离了中国的一种文化跟这个当代发展这么迅速的一种环境。我自己的作品是一种在我个人的对澳大利亚跟中国文化冲击的一种理解，然后我的作品是围绕就运用很多中国文化元素去表达我对西方文化的一种评价，就尤其是西方文化对中国这个传统的冲击的评价。我很想知道作为一个海外艺术家，我非常希望回到祖国的一种文化怀抱里面去，作为一种新生力量为中国的这种美术文化做出贡献。我很想知道在中国的这种艺术潮流当中怎么样去，就是说中国的这个美术组织怎么样去吸收海外的艺术家。
好，
谢谢。
好，简要翻译一下。
Thank you, Mr. Shen. Thank you, Director. In fact, I consider myself as a new generation, Generation Y, artist living overseas and left my own motherland, my own country for a long way away, living in a very different world. I believe my own works, in fact, it is understanding of the collision of the Australian and the Chinese cultures, and using my own artistic elements traditionally trained in China and to describe the impact from the West. What I want to know is that for an overseas artist, how do I go back to China where I was trained, like my own mother country, to make contributions? And are there any artistic arts institutions, in fact, giving support to overseas Chinese artists?
当然在回答你这个问题之前啊，我想先说一下，就是说在今天的中国啊，不仅是艺术家的创造是充满生机活力和多元多样的，而且整个艺术生态的环境也发生了根本的变革。比如以北京为例，既有各种公立的美术馆，还有许多私立的美术馆，还有更多是属于由画廊、艺术家工作室啊这样构成的艺术的区域。那么他们构成了今天的艺术从创作到社会接受之间非常丰富的桥梁。
Before I answer your question, I must add that currently in China, not only artists, but the arts world is very dynamic, vibrant, and varied and multifaceted. And for the overall surviving world, it is also that way. In Beijing, I can tell you that there are public organizations and also private organizations. There are galleries, there are studios in different organizations. The arts world in China, it is very multifaceted in many areas, including the creation and also social acceptance. A lot of bridges have been built.
所以由此我想哈，就是建议你可以回到中国去，和这么多的艺术的机构啊，能够建立一些联系。根据你的这个作品的实际，肯定能够找到更多的交流的空间啊。因为今天啊，在谈论艺术，我们很难说是谈论一种空间啊。人们的审美的趣味是如此的不同啊，社会的阶层对艺术的需求也有很大的差异。所以我想最现实的方法是能够使你的艺术能够先得到一些研究性的机构包括推广性的机构的了解，从而呢能够更多的建立联系。
Back to your question, I think you'd better go to China because there are so many arts institutions to establish some sort of contactsand also to find some space and channels to make contacts with those organizations. In China currently, there are many, many different types of spaces, and also they are trying to tailor-made
different needs and requirements, which are vastly different from the people. Therefore, the more realistic way is that you can gain some sort of recognition of research institutes and or promotion organizations to understand your works so that you can gain a foothold in China.
当然你旁边坐着沈嘉蔚先生，我想他是你回到中国的最好的指路老师。
I think Mr. Shen Jiawei, who is sitting next to you, he would be your best guiding person to China.
。Now, I know that many of you would have a lot of questions to ask Mr. Fan after such a stimulating lecture. But unfortunately, the safety issue robbed us of a little time. Having said that, I would like to thank you, Mr. Fan, for that very stimulating, fascinating and complex introduction to the world of Chinese art over the last 60 years.
我知道大家听了范馆长的非常激励人心的讲话之后，一定有大量的问题要问。很可惜，刚才我们出现了火警安全的问题，把我们的时间又剥夺了不少。在此，我想对范馆长您的非常有激励性的，而且呢非常精彩的、非常复杂的对中国过去60年艺术史的回顾讲话呢表示感谢。
Please join me in thanking Mr. Fan.
Thank you everybody.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.